Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We have a theme for the whole year here at Ablaze. It's called History in 2024, which is His Story in 2024. Our series from January to Easter next week has been His Story according to the Gospel of Mark. Now, I'm going to do a little recap from last Sunday to today. And if you weren't there on Wednesday, our midweek service, you're going to get the recap. Just kind of take a deep breath. I'm going to kind of walk you through. On Palm Sunday, of course, they hailed Jesus, the Son of David, flesh and blood, and the King, the Messiah, God Almighty. So the people proclaimed, "Hosanna, save us, Son of Man and Son of God," and Jesus let them do it because they were doing it correct. They were saying what they should have been saying. Now, that was on Sunday, a week ago. On Monday, he cleared out the temple, okay, turned over all those money changers, and he said, "My Father's house will be a house of prayer for all nations together." Okay, then he warned the people about those scribes, and then he told a beautiful story about the widow's mite, okay, a woman who is remembered for what she gave, just a penny. What's important is not the amount she gave, but she gave everything she had. Her faith and trust in her Heavenly Father was to give everything and trust wholeheartedly that He would take care of her. That was Sunday last week. Then on Wednesday, those of you who were there will remember this. But if not, on Wednesday, we went through chapter 13. Experts tell us that chapter 13 is called the Olivet Discourse. What does that mean? It means Jesus spoke the whole chapter. That's never happened before in the book of Mark. He just talks and talks and talks. And what does he talk about? The future, all the way to the end of the world. Okay, he prophesies about the future. Now, when a prophet would prophesy, it is God who would give him the vision. And as the prophet looked out towards the vision, to the end of the world, you might say, a prophet would see today, the near future, the first coming of Jesus Christ, and the second coming, way out there. Let me give you an example. Isaiah, given a vision by God, and a virgin will give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, first coming of Jesus. The prophet looks out and sees that. Then a few chapters later, the prophet says, and the sun will be darkened, and the moon will be darkened, and the stars will no longer shine, and he will judge. That's the second coming of Jesus. So as a prophet looks out, he sees a famine today, the first coming and the second coming. Well, Jesus is now a prophet in the Olivet Discourse, which takes place in an olive grove. That's why it's called that. And what does Jesus do? He looks to the future. He sees today, the immediate future, and his second coming, his return. Okay? That he talks about, and he says, listen, in the near future, Jerusalem is going to be sacked within 40 years, a generation. And right before Jerusalem is sacked, it's going to be a terrible time of tribulation. Oh, it's going to be terrible. You don't want to be alive during that time. It's a foretaste. It is kind of like a small example of what's going to happen at the end of the world. There's going to be a time of tribulation right before Jesus returns. Now, let me tell you about the sack of Jerusalem. It happened in 70 AD. It started in 66 AD. It was the first Holocaust. Over 1 million Jews were killed by the Romans, and the temple was completely destroyed. Okay, now the Babylonian captivity, where the Jews just carried off into captivity, the Romans slaughtered and killed almost everybody they got their hands on in 70 AD and totally destroyed the temple. Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another. And that happened in 70 AD, but it was a foretaste, a forerunner of how the end of the world is going to come. Right before Jesus returns, terrible time of tribulation, and the sun goes dark, the moon goes dark, the stars fall from the skies. Nobody is going to be going, I wonder what's happening. They'll all know. Jesus is returning. Now, Jesus then says, now listen, don't worry about it. There'll be wars, rumors of wars. There'll be famines. People will persecute you. But nobody knows the day and the hour when that will happen. Okay, that's chapter 13. Today, we're going to pick it up with chapter 14. It is now Wednesday. Jesus said all that on Tuesday. It is now Wednesday of Holy Week. Now, I know we celebrate Palm Sunday along with Christians throughout the world today, but we actually here at Ablaze celebrated it or read about it from Mark 2 weeks ago. Okay, let's pick it up. Chapter 14. It is now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. Boy, that sure tells you about the moral character of the leaders of the church at that time, or the temple, the Pharisees and the scribes. Hey, let's secretly kill Jesus. They contemplated premeditated murder. Even today, accidental murder or, you know, premeditated murder is something altogether different. This was premeditated. These are the people who heard Jesus, saw people, and knew the scriptures. He was innocent. All he did was heal people and do good to people. And all they wanted to do was get rid of him and kill him. Wow. Now, it was Passover. Let me quickly describe to you. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, is really an 8-day event. Begins with Passover, then 7 days of unleavened bread. Unleavened bread at the Passover, too. Within that, there's a feast called First Fruits. Three festivals in a period of 8 days, a high festival week, okay? We're going to talk about that over the next 7 days with Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. You don't want to miss those services. All right, verse 2. For they said, not during the feast. This is the high feast. Millions of people, okay, in Jerusalem. Lest there be an uproar from the people. So what were the Pharisees and the scribes concerned about? Killing Jesus, sparing their own lives. Don't want anybody to harm us because we did something to Jesus. So let's wait till after the feast. 3. And while he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, ex-leper, you might write in your Bible, because Jesus healed him, as he was reclining at table, a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly, and she broke the flask and poured it over his head. Now, it is believed this jar held about 12 ounces and had a long neck on it. And if you break it instead of uncork it, That means you're going to use it all. And it was very expensive. Now, from the other Gospels, we know this was Mary. And she not only anointed his head, but his body and his feet. And then she dried his feet with her hair and tears. A very touching moment with a woman who does something very special for Jesus, and he acknowledges it. Let's see what happens. 4, there were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? Now, we know from the other Gospels, this was Judas and some of the other disciples who followed him. Now, Judas is the guy who takes care of the money bag for the 12 disciples. He's the treasurer of the church, you might say. And we're told that whenever he wanted, he dipped into the money bag for himself. He stole from the church. Whew, not a nice guy. And so he's the one who said, this is wrong. He is a sniffer of sin. Know anybody like that who loves to point out sin? Okay. But this wasn't a sin, by the way. He calls good bad. 5, for this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. I want to point this out. Scolding her was also scolding Jesus because he allowed it to happen. Now, 300 denarii is a year's salary. I want you to think about how much money you make in a year. I know that's a whole spectrum. Would you spend all of that on one 12-ounce bottle of perfume? I'm willing to bet none of you would do that. Yeah. But she did. Why? Jesus gives us the reason. Oh, 6. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. Jesus has explained again and again what's going to happen. And so, these disciples would probably make good church board of directors. Always concerned about, being good and frugal with the money. Right? We'd probably say, we got to help out the poor. But they were oblivious to what Jesus told them he was going to do and what was going to happen. And we see, forgive me for saying this, their ignorance. Notice what happened. 8, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. So she anoints Jesus, washes his feet and anoints his feet. Jesus could have easily have said this, what have you done for me lately? Other than whine and complain. And we're told from the other Gospels, you know what they talked about? Who's the greatest? What are they thinking about? In the future, not listening to Jesus, we're going to rule in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to kick out the Romans, and we are going to rule along with Jesus. He just told them they are going to be persecuted and some of them put to death. But you have to give counsel and you have to stand up before courts and give witness to me. Oh, now listen, here's a woman who listened to Jesus when again and again and again, Jesus said, now listen, I am going to Jerusalem And there I'm going to be arrested. There I'm going to be mistreated. I'm going to be flogged. And I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. And they're going to bury me. But don't worry about it. 3 days later, I'll rise from the dead. While this went over 12 disciples' head, this woman heard it and prepared beforehand. What can I do for my Lord? And she got maybe a family heirloom or sold everything she had. Whatever she did, she knew she needed to do this for Jesus, for his body. And she came into this party, you might say, this banquet, and fell down before Jesus and anointed his body. Well, I want you to think about something. On Good Friday, we're celebrating. Now, I hate to say that. We're celebrating or talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's hung on a cross. His hair is all over his face. What does he smell? What is something that might give him just a little relief and give him a memory? Nard. Because it is such a strong perfume that stays with you a very long time. Imagine hanging there and he remembers what this woman did for him while the 12 disciples ran from him. All right. 9, and truly I say to you, I'm going to paraphrase, along with the widow and her mite, whenever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Wow. We go from the widow's mite on Tuesday to Mary, the ex-prostitute, on Wednesday. Both are remembered. All right, now we got Judas. Okay, back to Judas. Then Judas Iscariot. He's, you know, here's this foot washer. Here's this one who's not planning on taking on the Romans. I'm sick and tired of him. He is sour. And this woman, he wanted the money. Folks, I'm just telling you, who was one of the 12 went to the chief priest. Notice he goes to the chief priest in order to betray Jesus to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. So let's wait till after the feast. One of the 12, Judas, comes to him and says, hey, I want to betray him to you. We can find a secret time when there's not a crowd and a big festival going on, and you can arrest him, and I'll betray him to you. And so it's all planned out beforehand, premeditated betrayal, like the premeditated murder of the chief priest. Now, the other disciples ran from Jesus when he was arrested, but it wasn't premeditated. Judas premeditated this. You know, I've heard it said, maybe you've heard this, a bad man is worse when he pretends to be a good man. That's Judas. 12, and on the first day of unleavened bread, now we move into Thursday, folks, of Holy Week. When they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Now, what you don't understand is there's probably a million plus people in Jerusalem. How are you going to pick out one guy carrying water? That's a lot. Well, the time and the age was only women carried water. Okay, that was what women did. So if a man was carrying water, he'd stick out. It would be like a woman playing in an NFL football game as a lineman. Okay, we'd all be watching. Well, this man stuck out. Wow, there's a man carrying water. Let's follow him. Okay. And whenever he enters, verse 14, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? 15, and he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us. And his disciples set out and went to the city, found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Does this sound somewhat familiar to Palm Sunday? Jesus said to the disciples, go into the village, you'll find a colt tied up, untie it, and bring it. And if anybody says to you, why are you untying that? Just say, the master has need of it. The disciples go in, find the colt, bring it. It's all prepared in advance. Jesus has done this. All right, 17. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. As they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, now, let me set the picture. The Passover meal was a learning moment, a teachable moment, when you didn't rush through it. You relaxed. You gathered as a family. It took all hours to go through the Passover meal. It was a time when you built on relationships, okay? Like maybe a Thanksgiving meal, okay? Family comes over. But this was really low-keyed. In fact, if we celebrated the Passover meal or the Lord's Supper, okay, standing up or sitting down, it wouldn't give it justice. The only way I can explain that to you is if I laid down right now on the floor, okay, all the way out and propped my head on my elbow. That's how they celebrated the Passover meal and the Lord's Supper, folks. And I think on Sunday when we celebrated the Lord's Supper, I asked all of you to lay down to receive the bread and the wine. I'm willing to bet some of you wouldn't do it. Others of you might be thinking, why is he making us do this? But that's how they did it, folks. They recline on couches, kind of like when you eat on your couch in front of the TV, okay? And so they were reclining, building on relationships, talking about what God has done, and all of a sudden, Jesus announces, one of you are going to betray me. Oh, wow. 18, I'll read it again. And they were reclining at the table eating. Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who's eating with me. They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one after another, is it I? Now we're told from other gospels, Judas said the same thing. Is it I? And Jesus looks at Judas and says, it is, as you say. Now I think he did that hush, hush. 20, he said to them, it is one of the 12, one who's dipping bread into the dish with me. 21, for the Son of Man goes as it is written of him in Scripture. The prophecy is by his wounds we will be healed. The Son of Man will die and rise on the third day of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been alive. Wow. Why would it be better if he wasn't been alive? Because if Judas never been born, he would not be spending eternity in hell. But you might be thinking, okay, why didn't God or Jesus just get rid of Judas? Well, it's part of God's plan of salvation. He uses everybody to bring salvation, forgiveness to each and every one of us. Just like Pilate, just like Judas, God uses people to usher in the new covenant, the plan of salvation. And before you get so too rough on Judas and the other disciples who walked away from Jesus or ran, I want you to know, you know what it means to betray Jesus? To sin against him. You know what it means to betray? To sin. Everybody here including me, is guilty of betraying our God. If you've ever put anything before God, you've betrayed him. If you've ever cut loose with your tongue, uncontrolled, you betrayed him. If you've ever dishonored authority, if you've ever stolen anything, if you've ever had an evil thought or a lustful thought, you have betrayed your God. But here's the good news. If you say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, he forgives you. If you say you have no sin, you just deceive yourself. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us. That's what Jesus came to do, to pay that one price that we could not pay on the cross that is embedded on every donkey on earth, a cross, to remind us. That's why he came to Jerusalem. He came to die for you and for me so that someday we could spend eternity in heaven, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and a new earth. And that's the good news. I want to encourage you, don't miss the rest of Thursday. That service is going to take place on Thursday at our Tulsa campus. That's west of here. And then Good Friday, the Tenebrae service, where we're going to take a look at what Mark has to say in the 15th chapter about what happened on Good Friday. You don't want to miss that. And then the last chapter of Mark is Easter. I'm excited about finishing up Mark. I hope you are too, because it's history. His story, and we're part of that history. And we get to relive it during the Lenten season, along with those folks on Palm Sunday years ago. We too say, Hosanna, save us. He's the only one who can, the Son of Man and the Son of God. Amen.